Before we get to our regular Friday features, I have these fascinating facts about your favorite horror movies, and we threw a few of them out earlier in the week, and I got a few more here from fascinating facts about great horror movies. This one I love, and it's nice to come right out of the conversation that we just had, because the deal is the Babadook scared the hell out of William Friedkin, the guy who directed The Exorcist. The Babadook scared the hell out of him. Now, if you're not familiar with the Babadook, Dan, have you seen the Babadook?
No, I have not.
It's my current picture on my Facebook page is the Babadook. He's my man. He's my hero, the Babadook. It is a terrifying movie. I mean, really, really scary. And it came out like 3 years ago. And immediately became a classic. And it's also really funny that the Babadook himself has become a gay icon. And you know how that happened, Dan, right? You know the story?
I did hear this, yeah.
It's because Netflix posted the Babadook under gay entertainment. And it's not. I mean, gay people enjoy the movie, but the gay community just ran with it. And now at pride parades everywhere, people are dressed up like the Babadook. Drag queens are dressing up like the Babadook. For those of you who don't know, The Babadook is a really scary movie. And if William Friedkin was freaked out by it, you got to trust that it's scary. It's about this widow and her son. And the son is a very disturbed little kid, very troubled kid, both of them trying to deal with the loss of their father/husband. And she finds this children's book called Mr. Babadook. Mysteriously, it appears on the bookshelf in her son's room, and she's going to do a bedtime story and read it to him. It's a pop-up book, and it gets progressively weirder and scarier, and by reading this book, they have released the Babadook into the house. To say that this movie is scary is an understatement. If you've not seen the Babadook and you want a recommendation for a scary Halloween movie, this is the one to see. And here's what it said. On November 30th, 2014, Jennifer Kent's Babadook got a major publicity boost when The Exorcist director William Friedkin tweeted, quote, "I've never seen a more terrifying film than The Babadook. It will scare the hell out of you as it did me." Again, this guy directed The Exorcist. So, there you go. Oh, it's a really scary movie, man. It's really scary. All right, how about this? The stars of the Blair Witch Project use GPS trackers to find their instructions for the day. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the fact that that most of all of the Blair Witch Project was essentially improvised, the directors would leave them. They were out. The three people were out in the woods, and they didn't know where they were. They were confused. They were tired. They would have instructions on where to walk and what beats they had to get to. Like, you have to lose the directions here. You have to do this there. So they need, you know, how they got there. And one of the reasons why the movie is so effective and the performances are so effective is because they were scared. They were really tired and they were lost for real. Like, they didn't know where the hell they were and what was going to happen. They would set up the tents, and then the directors and the crew would come out and mess with them, like mess with the tent. All that stuff that you hear in the movie, like with the rustling and the weirdness that's happening outside, it's happening to them for real on like an hour's sleep. And it's wet and it's cold and they're miserable. The directors like really went after them. Production program points in the GPS unit for the actors to locate milk crates with three little plastic canisters in them. Each plastic canister contained notes on where the story was going for each actor, who would not show the other their pieces of paper. At one point, they were free to improvise dialogue. They were provided general instructions. So nobody knew what each other's notes were. So there's one part in the movie. Dan, you've seen Blair Witch, right?
You know, I never got around to it.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Oh, it's so scary. It is such a scary movie. But at one point, one of the guys says that he threw the map away. The other two people didn't know that was, you know, so they're really pissed at him. Like, they're like, what? You know, so all those reactions are pretty genuine, because they were just, it was just horrible for those guys. All right, how about this? The Blob is based on a true story. Now, come on. What are we talking about here? The Blob is based on a true story?
The Steve McQueen Blob?
Yeah. Based on a true story. By the way, my ex-wife Heather is terrified of that movie.
What?
She's like, I can't watch it. And I couldn't show her the remake because they remade it in the 80s.
Right.
And it's the remake is great. And the remake is great. And it's really gross and scary.
That commercial freaks me out. That's got the Blob in it. Have you seen that?
No.
I think it's for like Geico or something like that. But a guy gets eaten alive by like a blob in a laboratory. And that freaks me out.
Heather freaks out over that movie. I mean, the original one. And I don't even think she could sit through the remake because the remake is a lot more, you know, it's gory. But here's what this says. On September 27th, 1950, the Philadelphia Inquirer ran an article with the headline, Flying Saucer Just Dissolved. The night before, police officers John Collins and Joe Keenan swore that they'd watched a mysterious object fall from the sky. Rushing toward the landing site, the men stumbled upon a purple, jelly-like mass. Collins and Keenan immediately summoned two of their colleagues who arrived just in time to watch the material evaporate without a trace. The FBI was contacted, a press conference was held, and the whole mess became a national laughingstock. Flash forward, 1957, the year producer Jack H. Harris was looking to make a creature feature, but he couldn't come up with a decent premise. So he asked his friend Irvine H. Milgate. That's a great name right there, man. Irvine H. Milgate. To try and devise one. It's got to be a monster movie, explained Harris. It's got to be in color instead of black and white. It can't be a cheapy, creepy. It's got to have some substance to it. It's got to have characters that you believe in, and it's got to have a very unique monster never been done before, and the method of killing the monster would have to be something that grandma would have cooked up in her store. Milgate remembered the Philly incident, and then he wrote the story based on that. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. But let's see. Joel Cohen got his first break as an assistant editor on Evil Dead. True story. I don't know if you know this or not. Coen brothers are really tight with Sam Raimi.
Oh no.
Yeah, they worked together on like two or three movies. They all like, you know, they were really really buddies, and also they did a movie. Oh my God, why am I blanking on the name of it? Sam Raimi directed it, and the Coen brothers wrote it. And it was a slapstick comedy. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of it.
Crime Wave?
Crime Wave, that's it. Crime Wave. That was written by the Coen brothers and directed by Sam Raimi. And Sam Raimi, by the way, appears in Miller's Crossing. He plays his billing because he plays Snickering Gunman. That's Sam Raimi's credit on Miller's Crossing. Because like there is a whole group of cops outside this building. And he goes, he's got a gun, and he's one of the cop guys, he's got a gun, and he goes, hee, 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 and then he gets shot with a machine gun. That's right. Oh, man. Tim Burton was in contention to direct Gremlins. Wow. There was a lot of buzz surrounding Tim Burton after the success of his short film Frankenweenie, so much so that Steven Spielberg considered him to direct Gremlins, but the fact that Burton had yet to direct a feature worked against him, and the gig went to Joe Dante. Then a year later, Tim Burton released his first theatrical feature, the masterpiece Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is one of the greatest movies ever made. Now, here's an insane one. This is truly nuts. We'll close out with this one. Gene Hackman. Now, I want you to let this sink in, okay? Gene Hackman was slated to star in and direct The Silence of the Lambs. Let that sink in for a second. Gene Hackman and Orion Pictures split the $500,000 needed for the movie rights to the book, but Hackman dropped out days after he watched clips of himself at the 1989 Oscars as FBI agent Alan Parker in The Violent Mississippi Burning, deciding not to follow up a dark role with an even more unlikable character. Okay, I can't even imagine. Seriously.
It would not have been the movie that it was.
I mean, I can't even imagine that.
No.
Him playing Hannibal Lecter.
No.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Silence of the Lambs. In fact, I hate that movie. But I mean, obviously, it's a classic, you know, and nobody else is, you know, associated. Well, actually, two other actors are now associated with the role of Hannibal. And, you know, Brian, Brian Cox played him in Manhunter. You know, I mean, obviously most people know Anthony Hopkins. And Mills Markinson played him on the TV show Hannibal, which, by the way, in my opinion, is the best interpretation of that material. That show, the three seasons of Hannibal, whew, great stuff, man. And, like, I can't believe it was an NBC show because of the stuff they got away with on that show. Like, I was grossed out. It was, you know, it's a network TV show. It's not cable. And I'd sit there during every episode and go, oh, man. But that show was genius. Brian Fuller, responsible for that show. Genius. So, anyway, I got a few more facts. We'll throw some of them out, you know, during the week, Halloween coming up. What is Halloween? Tuesday, right? Tuesday morning, we'll do our spooktacular. So Monday morning when we come back, we got all the movie reviews, my dad's joke, and then Tuesday morning we'll do the spooktacular and we'll have a visit from Tom Appel. It'll be a scary Tom Appel.
You'll have Halloween costumes for car lovers in your life.
Is that right? Seriously?
Yep.
We have to talk about the Munster car too, because that's one of the coolest cars in history.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right, that's what's coming up. We got to take a break, and we got the weather and the traffic, and then you big dummies coming up.